It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a roster cut down Tuesday. Obviously, that's the big thing happening. 3 p.m. at the deadline for the Texans and all other teams in the NFL to get their roster down to 53 men. And we've seen a lot of them happen, a lot of cuts happen over the course of the day. Notable ones, Andrew Beck, fullback, no longer with the team. You have the
CJ wide Henderson. Receiver.
Yeah, CJ Henderson. Yeah. I don't know why I heard Anderson. I was like, first of all, is it CJ Anderson even so?
That's a different one.
What, running back, right?
Yeah.
He probably has CC's right now.
Wow. Let's be respectful.
That's a big man.
But last time we saw him,
he's a big eater.
Big boy, for sure. Also, CC's a fantastic place to be.
Yeah,
but CJ Henderson, the cornerback, as you mentioned.
Andrew Beck.
Noah Brown. Tim Boyle, quarterback, is not on the roster as well. Quite a few other things, and I'll get those to you as well. But we also were adding, in addition to some of those big ones, veteran tackle Charlie Heck,
yeah,
who battled plantar fasciitis all season. He is has been released, and the Texans are waiving rookie linebacker Max Tooley. Had a strong preseason, and they expect to have him on the practice squad.
So the Charlie Heck one is interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, he's been a franchise favorite for a few years. I mean, always around, sort of like the Neville Hewitt. Just couldn't get rid of him if you tried. But now
said that like he was an infestation. That's crazy.
That's right. It's like it's very insensitive, but I've called them like cockroaches. Like you know, you try to step on them, and then 5 minutes later, they're walking across your kitchen floor. But with all due respect, because they've had carved out really good careers. Charlie Heck, though, now is gone. So that makes it really interesting on the offensive line. We know the 5 starters. We know Blake Fisher. There's 6. We know Kendrick Green and Jarrett Patterson are going to make the squad because they're guard and center. That's 7 and 8. Oftentimes, you keep 9 offensive linemen. So is it going to be Nick Broeker, which I'm so glad we finally figured out how to pronounce his name.
That's how
You're welcome.
Or Chris Reed. That's kind of what it comes down to. If Charlie Heck is gone, Nick Broeker, our guy that we saw at training camp and we're sort of wondering about, may well make the squad. Or do they keep 8 linemen? Offensive line.
Another space. Well, offensive line is a place where, look, I don't know that you want to get slim on offensive line.
I think you keep 9.
Yeah, I think that you keep 9 there. Some other news that happened right before my eyes a few seconds ago. I mean, less than a minute or about a minute ago, as you were talking about Nick Broeker and the rest of this offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Wilson lets us know that Texans released veteran cornerback Mike Ford. There's a lot of cornerbacks that are snap going. Because we mentioned earlier that, let me see if I get this in front of me, right? I just mentioned that Mike Ford Jr. goes. We also mentioned that CJ Henderson is gone. Troy Pride Jr. was cut earlier in the day. Chris Boyd, I don't know what the extent of his injury is, but he was injured in the preseason game this weekend. That cornerback room and that the DBs, we're getting a little thin there, aren't we?
You know what? Put your ear down on cornerbacks that are on the market. You mentioned this before. Like, because right now, with no Mike Ford, your outside cornerbacks are Stingley, Lassiter, and Okuda. No, and D'Angelo Ross. I think what we're going to see here is someone coming from another squad to join. Because I don't think Chris Boyd is going to either. I think he's injured. And injured enough that he's not going to be on the 53.
And also, with all due respect to Chris Boyd, because, look, that's necessary. Boyd. Hey, man, in watching him in this preseason, it looked like opposing teams viewed number 17 as the mark.
They went at him.
They were like, oh, 17 over there? Let's try him.
Yeah, we need to work on this play.
Yeah. Again, I say that as respectfully as possible while basically criticizing that man for doing his job. That's not inspiring a ton of confidence, even if he remains healthy after that injury.
So, right, you got to keep an eye. They're going to pick somebody up, right?
I mean, I would hope so. Like, I don't know that you rock out with four outside cornerbacks.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you need to have a little bit more depth there. But look, we'll ultimately see. I know that they feel great about their safeties. Maybe you have safeties that you feel comfortable, you know, sliding out at times. I don't know. But I feel like, the cornerback, I was already worried about depth there. And so I'm even more so now, I guess, is the way that I have to put that. Okay, so those are the cuts that I've seen as of right this moment. Let me do one more refresh. Texans waived former UFL standout defensive end Malik Fisher. That do anything for you?
Not a lot, but he had been in the mix a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so there you go. That's up to date knowledge on who has been cut thus far. I know people are talking about Xavien Howard. Former standout cornerback who's kind of out there as a free agent.
Oh, yeah, he is still out there.
Yeah.
Maybe that ends up being somebody that Nick Caserio dials up. We'll see where that lands, but that's what's happening there. What's happening here, though, in the loop, let's talk about this. The Athletic put together a quarterback tiers ranking when it comes to, you know, the various quarterbacks in the league and how they stack up. And I love tiers because basic just number ranking can be a little fraught. There's sometimes where this guy and that guy, what differentiates
them? The difference between 7 and 8 could be big.
The difference between 7 and 8 could be huge.
Yeah.
And so, like, having that same differentiation between each player sometimes, I don't know.
Yeah.
But having tiers, like, all right, all these guys are kind of in this group. You can kind of stack them how you want. And then here's another group. It feels like it's more true to form on what we're trying to get to. And obviously, with a quarterback tiers list, we got to ask, where does C.J. Stroud rank for you in this tiers list? So before we actually get to the list put together by Mike Sando of The Athletic, just generally, if you are thinking generally with tiers, first of all, do you put Patrick Mahomes on his own tier? Or do you
absolutely.
Okay.
I don't see how you cannot.
All right. So with that being the case, what tier in your just general mindset would you put C.J. Stroud in? Because this is a dude who in his rookie season was fantastic for a rookie. 23 touchdowns and what was it? 4 or 5 interceptions? But you know, with that being the case, like, that is the rookie, you know, kind of framework. We're out of the rookie framework, and now it's time to step him into, like, the full-fledged, you're a veteran quarterback, as he's kind of demonstrated himself to be.
Yeah.
The technique is very good, and it's, you know, well beyond his years. However, when you're comparing him to the rest of the league, where do you stack him?
I know, you know, this is going to sound very Homer-ish, but I'm not alone, because national pundits and experts and scouts are saying much the same thing. I think he's in the next tier. I really
second
do.
Tier.
I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is an incredible, you know, stating the obvious here, just an incredible quarterback that has done amazing things. He's also in his 40s now. And is he still that guy? You know, if you want to judge from training camp, you know, maybe he's had some moments. So if you want to maybe put him in his own tier, but behind Patrick Mahomes, if he's at his best, I would put Aaron Rodgers obviously ahead of everybody else between Mahomes and the second or 2A tier. I put him up there. I put C.J. Stroud up there with Josh Allen, with Lamar Jackson, with Tua. If you have Tua, wouldn't be in that tier.
That's a very interesting tier that you've created.
So I would say, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
Maybe that's it, huh?
So,
yeah.
The Athletic, the methodology here, 5 tiers. Mm-hmm. They asked voters to place 30 veteran quarterbacks into the 5 tiers from best to worst. And then within that, then they kind of averaged it out. And so tier one is anybody that was average, tier one straight to maybe like tier 1.5.
Yeah.
So, and then like basically a tier down from all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Mahomes was not separated out, but obviously he ended up with a straight up redlined 1 tier, right?
Mm-hmm.
No points because no one left him lower.
Yeah.
In that first tier, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow.
Oh, I left off Burrow.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Those guys all exist within the first tier. So it is a three quarterback tier, and the way they describe this is quarterbacks that can carry his team each week. Team wins because of him. He's expertly handles pure passing situations, no real holes in his game. So first of all, agree with those first three, and then secondly, Do you feel like the description is fair, that with the description that it's fair that CJ was not put in that tier?
No, I don't. I think Mahomes is his own, as we talked about. And then I'd put Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and CJ Stroud on the same tier. I don't think that's outrageous, you know, based on what we've seen. Now, it could change, and it's only the second year, but I don't think it's outrageous.
Okay, so the second tier is where Lamar Jackson comes in. Matthew Stafford, along with mm-hmm. Justin Herbert, they all kind of had the same average when it came down to it.
Yeah.
But yes, they're all in this tier. Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love.
Now we're getting down there.
There's a lot of breadth in that second tier there. But with that being the case, CJ Stroud existing right about the middle, a little bit closer to the top of that tier, and that tier is described as a quarterback that can carry his team sometimes, but not consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three, maybe a hole or two in his game. That feels like that describes CJ Stroud fairly well, does it not?
That's fair. That is absolutely fair.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fair. I mean, you know, part of my deal is just projecting the obvious rookie,
right,
rookie
exactly.
Second year. I think some of those holes are going to be filled in, you know, so
yes.
to speak. In terms of, like, if you want to look at these tiers like draft tiers, obviously that to me, that's maybe a more fair way of putting it. If you're going to draft these tiers, Patrick Mahomes would be the first pick. The second tier that you would draft from would be the one that I mentioned. I would draft from Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. I forgot, who was the other one? Well, Josh Allen, of course.
Yes, Josh Allen.
And then CJ Stroud. Oh, Matt Stafford. Matthew Stafford would maybe be, and I would draft from there just to win in the next 2 years. I don't think that's outrageous. I'd put CJ Stroud in there.
Well, I mean, as of right now, basically all of the write-up, right, when it comes to why he ended up in that place.
Mm-hmm.
All glowing, right? One offensive assistant said, this guy's a freaking baller. When we watch the style of play, there's a lot of Joe Burrow. When Joe is healthy, the dude has balls, right?
Yeah.
Another head coach said that, I think that he's special. He can make plays on rhythm. He can read coverage. He can get through progressions. He can manipulate coverages. He can create off schedule a lot better.
Yeah.
Right? All of the things that are glowing to the point where they agree with you on the idea that he has the things, the stuff, to be a tier one guy. It seems like all of the only like real... negative about him is just it's early, and then here's a direct quote from a head coach. I'm sure people gave him one, but he's got to prove it. The Baltimore playoff game, when he had to throw, he couldn't do it. He needs to prove he can do it in a big game against really good defenses. And if that's the only thing, it's just seeing more of it, seeing it consistently. I think that's the only thing. But you're right, he has the stuff to be a tier one quarterback, and that makes what Steve Weish of NFL Network said really interesting. He was, you know, they were talking about the potential of 2024 MVP, and he obviously threw up an interesting potential candidate.
I'm with you on Patrick Mahomes being the guy, but I'm going to go with another quarterback in his conference, and that's C.J. Stroud with the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Okay, now this guy.
Buying in, Steve.
They've got the offensive line, and they've only got him more weapons. Let's get him Stephon Diggs, okay? He's one of the best quarterbacks already in the NFL, top five or top six guy. Let's go ahead and give him Stephon Diggs. This offense is going to be varied. Yeah, people know who the Texans are. They're not going to sneak up on anybody, but they've got he's got a great quarterback coach in Gerard Johnson, great play schemer in Bobby Slowick. But this guy the effort and the stuff he's put in, he plays the position where it looks easy, like Mahomes. He may not do some of the spectacular Houdini-type stuff, but the game has come to him so quickly in the NFL. That's what I'm saying. He's going to be in that conversation an awful lot this year.
Sounds damn good to me. I mean,
you're in on the idea of CJ Stroud MVP.
And the reason is this: if he's what we think he is in the early season, when I think most people would agree, the first six games are probably the easier part of the schedule. Even though, obviously there's some Caleb Williams is there, and there's some Anthony Richardson's there, more unproven guys. So if he gets off to a good start, it comes down to week 15 and week 16.
15 is versus Miami. So Miami
16 and 17. Then.
16 at Kansas City,
yes.
And that is a NBC game on a Saturday, right?
And then 17 is Lamar Jackson.
17, you face Baltimore here in Houston, and that is Wednesday, a Christmas Day game, 3:30 on Netflix.
So think about this.
There's a lot of intrigue on that game.
Think about it. If he's an MVP candidate, first part of the season, kind of hangs in there in the middle part of the season as an MVP candidate. And then he goes out and beats Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. That's a wrap.
Late in the season.
That's a wrap.
Yeah.
He'll be the MVP. But again, I mean, that's an enormous if. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and one of them on the road. But what I'm saying is I don't mind that prediction because early in the year he could be rolling. They could be rolling. They could get some wins. And then all of a sudden we have these showcase games where voters are going to be watching.
Yeah.
You know?
And looking at it, I mean, I was looking at the last six MVPs, which are three players, each of them getting two of them. Aaron Rodgers got a couple. Lamar Jackson got a couple. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes got a couple. You look at kind of what they had in their MVP seasons. We're talking about 40 to 50 touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes with minimal interceptions. You're talking about, 48, 37 actually there for Aaron Rodgers in one of those seasons. Lamar Jackson a little bit lower because he ends up being more of a you have to add the rushing attack in there as well.
Yeah.
In his MVP season, but 36 and then 24 this past year, which was a really interesting MVP year and just in general it didn't feel like there was a lot of candidates. But yeah, that touchdown total got to go up a great amount, and I think that's definitely available to him. And then obviously just winning, right? The narrative of this award, establish how it's there, but you got to get out there and have maybe 11 wins, maybe not even just 10 wins.
And the key wins against the big-time quarterbacks.
100%.
So yeah.
But I think that you're right. It's the plausibility is there. I think, will it happen? I'm a little bit more skeptical on that, but I think that the plausibility is absolutely there, which says
He's pretty high on the board.
Says a lot about a dude in year. I mean, what was it, third?
Third or fourth. Yeah.
So, I mean, look, absolutely great for the high end of what's possible for CJ Stroud in this season. And I mean, look, you went and added an elite level wide receiver. The idea is that you should get
more touchdowns,
more opportunities for that to happen. And you hope also that the running game can help supplement that, where he's not having to lead this team to the playoffs and lead them deep into the playoffs. Like, I don't think the MVP is his focus. But also you hope that he's not having to carry too much because of the run game in that end. Because if the touchdown totals are high, but it's because he is has too much strain, I think that ends up being counterintuitive ways as well. There you go. CJ Stroud, some of the outlook on CJ Stroud for this upcoming season here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next on In the Loop, we got a little lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All righty, let's get to the confessions here. And this one, I don't know. I should hate them because they're really goofy and corny. But it's fantasy football season, right?
Yes.
I absolutely love all these videos on my timeline right now of fantasy football champs arriving to the draft in limos and with all the, all these women asking for autographs and selfies.
Oh, those dorks?
All those dorks. It's dorky, it's goofy, it's corny. I can't get enough of that. And I can't get enough of what the last place team has to do. I saw some guy had to caddy 18 holes for the champ, like carrying his bag in the white jumpsuit and all that stuff. It's stupid. I get it. But I love when they make these people do silly things like that, or they do silly things. It's awesome.
Yeah, look, I hear you. I like in some ways kind of hearing about them, some of them. Some of them I'm like, yo, are you sure these are your friends?
Exactly.
Like, and I get it.
Well, so, some of them are vicious.
Yeah, some dudes' friendships, that's how they are. Like, mm-hmm. Not quite for me. I'm like, hey, man, we would no longer be associating if I had to deal with some of these. But I appreciate the really creative ones. Like one that I saw a few years back was the loser would have to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House.
Oh, I saw that one. I remember that one.
However, you could eat down your time for every waffle you ate.
Yeah.
You would cut off
like
an hour.
Half an hour or whatever. Yeah, an hour.
And that led to a great situation where one of my coworkers, I made him, because he was like, oh, yeah, I just eat like, 10 waffles and then be out of there. And I was like, you're not eating 10 waffles in an hour.
No.
And he was like,
I'll do stuff it. With one and a half, man.
And yeah.
So, did he?
No, I mean, no, he got like 4.5 waffles in an hour. And I was like, I told you. And then the worst part about that is you think, okay, well, then I do that the next hour. No, buddy, you're full.
No, you're done. Yeah. You're good for a good while.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but yeah, things like that.
It's goofy stuff. I just love that because these people take it so serious. And it's so much, they make so much fun of each other and all
that. As long as the stakes aren't too high, I kind of like it when they get to that. But when the stakes get really high, I'm like, what are we doing, man? We're doing fake football, brother. Watch this. Okay, so my confession here is that I think Dabo Swinney is running from the grind, or Dabo. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said his name all weird.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you guys recall last year Dabo Swinney in his coach's show.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the SEC, the coach's show, people call in, talk to him, and there was some dude who called in and told him about himself. And Dabo didn't like that, right? And so now this season, Dabo Swinney will no longer have live calls on his weekly radio show.
Oh, man.
Oh, brother.
The fans. Now, I can't be too judgmental because the fans will be able to text and email a lot like what we have with our text line, 713-572-4610.
Yeah, but you're just picking there.
And, yeah.
That shouldn't be the reason you disable the calls.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a fire call, man, you got to let that guy eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dabo running from the grind, man.
I think he is.
He don't want to hear people tell him about himself.
Boy, Dabo's star
has fallen. And the fact that he's
not
getting out here in this transfer portal.
Dabo's star has fallen a little bit in the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, some of that is because the landscape of college sports is shifting rapidly. I think we saw something similar start to happen with Coach K in a similar vein, right? Mm-hmm. When Coach K was still real strong in that we don't do one and dones.
Yeah.
Like, as the world started to turn, he looked up and was like, hey, man, this is a lot harder to happen with everybody else getting on the train and me being behind. And eventually you saw him go and get some one and dones, right? Dabo was in that place, but with transfers and those types of things. And to be fair to him, right? Clemson has had a level of success that they had not had in a long time without him, right? He built what they've got going right now, to be completely fair. However, if you want to be so so defiantly against trying to, modernize and get with the times, you're going to get left.
You're going to get left behind.
And that's what you're starting to see is they're getting left. And it's not like, I mean, they have good geography and all those things, but if you're not willing to play the game as it's being played right now, you're going to get left behind. I think that's what's definitely happening to him. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I think what I love about working here is seeing my coworkers with different live read sponsors and how it kind of fit their personality a little bit.
Yeah. Where are you getting at with this?
So, all right. Okay.
Where are you getting at with this, Figgy?
So
I can almost see the string.
So I was listening to Pain and Pentagast this morning,
as one does.
Yeah.
6 to 10 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610.
As you should every morning.
Yeah.
And that show is probably known for having the most live reads probably in history.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of every break, somebody reading.
They're
something popular. Yeah, or endorsing something.
They do a good job.
So I heard Sean Pendergast endorsing this.
But if you're looking for a place to watch all this, looking for a place to go watch some of the football coverage with today's Cutdown Day, so if you're looking for a place to watch your Astros tonight, because Taquerias Arandas is a proud sponsor of the Houston
Astros. I shouldn't
laugh
like that.
Oh, yes, you should.
No, I shouldn't, because I just passed like day 500 on my Duolingo. I'm trying to get my Spanish down.
Oh,
but
good for you.
I bet if I start trying to roll to Mars, somewhere will be laughing at my pronunciation, so I should not do that to
others. So, first get to your confession, because then I know I'm going to add on to it.
Because Taco Diaz around that.
I was sitting there thinking, like, wait a minute, man. Yeah. Like, that's a Hispanic place, right?
Is it now?
Is that?
I think so. I believe so.
Right? Yeah.
We have one Hispanic going on our station, right?
Yeah.
So what's up with the salespeople just passing you up and going right to Sean Pendergast? And look, this is no hate at all.
Yeah.
I like Sean Pendergast doing this live
read. He tried to put the sauce on it. I like it.
I give him an A for effort.
He tried to put the sauce on it.
I think it's cool, and I think he should stay on this.
Absolutely.
He should definitely keep this. Y'all got to add my man John Lopez on this, man. He was sitting right there.
Can we do the side-by-side comparison? Can you give me Pendergast one more time?
Because Taquerias around us.
Porque Taquerias
around us. Oh, he fumbled.
I did it in Spanish.
Sean, you can keep it, man.
Porque Taquerias around us. All right, so here's my hot take.
Don't even look at Lopez.
Not only is there only one.
Sales staff, he made the right call.
No. Hold on.
Made the right call.
Not only is there only one Hispanic sports full-time broadcaster on this station, there's only one in the city.
You screwed up the name, man.
No, I was trying to do it in Spanish. Taquerias Arandas. Taquerias Arandas.
I think Sean said it a little bit.
Oh, no. I give him an A for effort.
Sales staff, salute to y'all.
No,
man.
What are we doing?
Y'all made the right call.
I've switched sides. I think Pendergast is the one.
Keep Sean.
Pendergast is what we're looking
keep,
at there.
Keep Sean. But what are we doing here?
It's Taquerias Arandas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Okay. I think that's white privilege, man.
Y'all didn't know Sean is a Venezolano. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like tacarillas around us.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So, Ryan Leaf made a little news yesterday and today because he was saying in a bad way, you know, Pat McAfee is high 80% of the time that he's on the air. My confession is, and what? Whatever works. What does it matter? I could name you three national broadcasters right now that are at least 80% of the time, maybe more, high on the air. Who cares? They're great. Yeah. Pat McAfee is awesome.
Yeah, if you can do the gig,
he could
cool.
probably do a Taquerias on this commercial.
It's
Taquerias around us.
That's right. I just want you to keep that one around. You know what I mean? Like, I just want that to be around for a while. And also, I think we don't give enough credit to just how many people we do not recognize are in their jobs,
mm-hmm.
just off a gummy or something, right? Like, wasn't it, who was it, Mad Dog Russo on one of the first takes where he was like, you know, go watch, pop a gummy, watch the game. And I'm like, you're somebody's grandfather. And you know what? That's on me for stereotyping. But that's the thing is, like, I think we all kind of stereotype. There's folks out here high all the damn time at their 9-to-5s and everything.
Hell, B. Scott might have been high today.
What are you doing? Whoa. Hold on.
I said might.
That's wild.
I said might.
Oh, my goodness.
But again, gracious.
What do you mean might? You don't know? Do you know?
I don't know. Okay. I have to be honest. I don't know for sure.
All I'm saying is, what does it matter if they're great at their job, even if they're high?
That's right. And also, I think that we also have to consider the source on this one.
Yeah.
It's a very particular situation with Ryan Leaf and his relationship with narcotics. I feel like that meant something a little different for him. However, buddy.
It would have hit more if it was 15 years ago, where weed and being high was way more of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, who cares? The dude's still good.
Yeah. Yeah. B. Scott was good.
What are you doing?
Goodness, man.
Either he is snitching or these are like crazy allegations that are coming through. Either way, I don't like what we're doing here right now.
You ain't getting that taqueria.
Yeah, that's definitely not coming back to you.
The sales staff was high when they gave it to Sean.
Taquerias around us.
That's right.
I'm sitting right here.
Taquerias around us.
My confession is I didn't come up with a second confession today. I saw the Dabo thing. I was like, that'll go. And I was like, I think I have enough, and I did not have enough.
Yeah.
I'm still getting the hang of, like, all right, when I have these thoughts during the course of a day, write them down. They'll come back around for the confession. So.
By the way, somebody said shots fired at Chris Santiago. I said on the air full time, like day parts. Chris Santiago's on the team.
And technically, he's not full-time.
Yeah.
Not trying to put his business out there. He should be full-time.
He should be.
Shout out to the 713.
And he do a damn good job, too.
Shout out to the 713, smoking in the parking lot right now. Chill. Yeah, man, you making the block hot.
The weed.
713-572-4610. B. Scott, were you high today?
All right. Come
on. Oh, goodness.
Goodness great. What are we doing?
It's funny.
Well, okay. I was about to try and make a transition, but I don't want to do that at all.
Ain't about to be high no more. You blowing this high, right?
Yeah, bro. You making the block hot. Also, in that same vein, in the last break, you were out here kind of doing the... Hey, we've kind of slowed down, haven't heard anything. And as soon as you did that, Aaron Wilson was like, a word.
Oh, yeah.
Texans released defensive lineman Marcus Harris.
Oh, yeah. There was so much for
your
that.
Boy.
Yeah, your guy. Minutes. However, they plan to sign him to the practice squad if he clears waivers.
Okay.
So, at least in theory, assuming that another team does not snatch him up, he will remain with the Texans. And I guess just a note just to do that, apparently the Chiefs are releasing Kadarius Toney. So, a dude who sometimes looks like he might have been high at his job. It's a possibility.
Or he definitely be driving fast.
Yeah, he does.
Well, there is that. There is that. All right. You're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the experienced Astros are going to need some rookies to help them get to where they need to go. Let's talk about that, because we saw a little bit of that in this game last night against the Phillies. We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
We are In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Texans roster cut down Tuesday. As you know, we've been getting news all morning about the guys who will make this team and unfortunately the guys who will not make this team, at least the 53-man roster thus far. Some notable ones. I mentioned Andrew Beck, mentioned Noah Brown, mentioned C.J. Henderson.
Yep.
What were some other big ones that went through?
Well, you mentioned Henderson.
Tim Boyle got cut as a quarterback, which seems to lead to the idea that Case Keenum will be the third quarterback, whether on the 53-man roster or if they try and get him to the practice squad.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're watching that space for those various folks. I mentioned before we went that Kadarius Toney got cut by the Chiefs, and we made a little joke, a little jokey joke about driving fast. We were mixing up a couple of Chiefs receivers. Because Rashi Rice, the SMU product, was the kid.
Ah, that's who it is.
And, who was wilding out.
Tony did something, too, didn't he? He got in trouble with something.
Well, Tony just keep...
I think he was just wilding out.
He just keeps getting in his way.
Yeah.
Getting on social media.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, those types of things. A lot of people not happy with you about blowing up people's spots for being high.
No, I completely endorse it. The whole confession was, I don't care. What does it matter? And then I said, B. Scott might have been high today.
Okay, all right. We didn't have to keep going back to... All right.
I mean, might have, might not.
I think I seen B. Scott leaving the office with a box full of stuff, man.
Someone said apologies to B. Scott because that next P test is not going
to
be very
random. We about to get that email.
No, I got his back. I'm saying,
Brandon Scott, no longer with Odyssey.
I'm saying, let's do it. Let's go. He's good.
Oh, so you going to go with him?
No.
Okay.
I've tried so many times to get high.
He said it like you were incapable of doing it, or
it just doesn't do it for me. Like both my all my kids a little bit, but my two sons smoke a lot of weed, and they're very
goodness gracious
on everybody. Hey, anybody else you want to talk about smoking weed?
Hey, I hope wherever they work, they ain't listening to this show.
Their bosses are probably high too. Anyway,
goodness gracious,
they are really successful and really good at their jobs. And so that's part of the, I don't care. And I wish I could smoke weed. I really do. Cause I probably on the weekends, you know, I get this beer belly for a reason, beer or alcohol. You know, I don't drink as much beer as I used to, but I'm saying, I wish I could smoke more weed. I've tried multiple times. It just doesn't hit right. Okay. I feel stupid when I smoke it.
All right.
How about you? No.
I know how to not dry snitch. That's what I know. Also, I know that these Astros, these Astros, clearly it's a good team, man. They've gotten to this place where, and there were definitely points during the season where that was obscured, right? Mm-hmm. But they've managed to become, again, a really good baseball team. And that's despite multiple injuries that still kind of pop up at various times. And it's very evident that this Astros team is going to need some young people to step up and be effective to get where they need to go.
Yeah.
And so with that being the case, I wanted to look at and evaluate those young folks that are, you know, that are with this team, and like, what's reasonable to expect of them, especially in the roles that they are having to, you know, be in, or that they will inhabit going forward. Especially because yesterday, Jose Altuve got a day off. And I know our guy Ron on the drive was a little concerned, because you looked up and you go, hey, didn't he get a day off last week on Wednesday? And not even a week later, he gets another day off on Monday. And I understand they're in the midst of an 18 games and 18-day stretch. Maybe that is part of the factor. But like, hey, you had that. And you, Mauricio Dubon
was out. You know, was down. Out.
So in order to play to have someone play second base, you had Shea Whitcomb step in. And he's been playing all over the field. You've had DeZenzo play all over. And you talked about also, you had guys out of the pen who were younger. And like, I'm interested, first of all, what's your confidence level when it comes to just the makeup of this team and the young folks having to step in and give some level of impact?
Okay, so my confidence level is, how strong is... I've called it the gene in the past. The Astros have that gene. I'm going to call it the force, like old school Star Wars reference.
Okay.
You know, the force is strong with this team, you know, because of what they've done for all these years in a row, because they've got the guys that, you know, that are unflappable and have come up in the clutch so many times. And we know those guys. You just mentioned Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, Tucker, if he's healthy, just all these guys. So that's the force. Can it translate to these guys in the postseason?
Right.
You know, in at the highest level,
in big moments. Because I mean, these games are
big,
as close as they're getting to that right now. Right, these this stretch, you have, you know, some big time teams that you're playing against, where you have to get a feel for how you work in these big situations. But even then, I don't know if it's a good facsimile for. The height and the pressure of the moments that you get in the postseason.
Yeah. Caleb Ort pitched last night, and this is what kind of got me thinking about this. Like, can they work more magic with this guy? Because he was with the Red Sox, and really hard thrower. By the way, Adam Spillane is going to join us tomorrow. We can talk about some of this.
Can't wait.
At 10:40. But, like, then he would just fall flat. You know, Brian King, left-hander specialist. You know, they pulled him yesterday when he had to face a lefty. Shea Whitcomb, you mentioned. Victor Caratini, Ben Gamel, DeZenzo. How strong is that power that the Astros veterans have to be able to help these guys reach another level? Because we saw it last night. You know, they couldn't quite get it done. It was a hell of a game. It was one of the more entertaining games of the year. But then ramp it up even more when you get to the postseason.
Yeah.
Can these guys, because they're going to have to. These guys are going to have to step it up and play that type of game last night times 10. And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, in the course of that game, Whitcomb batting ninth, he ends up, you know, 1-for-4, and he only gets pulled as a defensive replacement because Altuve pinch hit.
Yeah.
Right. Some of these other guys, Ben Gamel has been, he's, you know, flashed at the ball a little bit, got some bases, had a couple of RBIs in his, Astros debut as well. Caratini, a run, a hit. I mean, they're doing decent. They're in there kind of existing within the context. All right, at least when it comes to this game. I was interested because the Crawfish Box is the SB Nation website for the Astros, was looking at Whitcomb and DeZenzo themselves in particular, because those guys have had a lot of a lot of burn, although in a relatively small sample size. But I mean, consider it to their being rookies who, I don't know that they were on the plan to be up with the big league club necessarily, kind of a little bit more out of necessity.
Yeah, I don't think they were,
When you look at some of the kind of more advanced stats, because obviously you look at the just regular stats, and because it's so small, they have a lot of variety. But when you look at what their expected batting average is, their expected slugging is, right? Whitcomb, 362 expected batting average on the way that he's played thus far.
Okay.
580 expected slugging. Like, he's been really solid, in as well as defensively. I think it's hard to compare him at third base like Bregman, but he's been okay.
Yeah.
And yesterday he also made a really nice double play play at second base in a position that he has not played, right? I think Whitcomb, I have been thoroughly impressed by early on.
That's kind of my point. Like, these guys are impressive and have made some good plays. But then you get into the high leverage game against super talented teams. Can Can they work their magic again with some no names? You know, all due respect, but you know, relatively speaking,
right?
In clutch situations, because they're going to have them. Like they're Chaz McCormick is a net negative, as we all know.
Yeah, and he kind of had a little bit of an apology, not a little bit, like an apology, because he feels like he's letting his team down. And if I mean, being completely honest, he is right. He's one of the reasons why you have like Jordan playing in the outfield consistently is because you don't have those outfielders that are supposed to be there kind of eating up some of those or playing in that place.
So there's that. There's these pitchers, the relievers. Some of the starters have stepped up. Obviously, you know, Blanco looked pretty good yesterday and should have probably been in the hunt a little better for the win. But it was a tough game and a tough opponent. That's what I'm saying. It's like it was almost like. It just kind of made me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Sure.
As confident as you are in this team, as confident you are in the Altuves and the Bregmans, et cetera, it made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Like, it's a big ask, you know, to expect this team with these pieces to be able to get to another league championship series. How strong is that force? I mean, how big is that influence? And the injuries are still there. You know?
And I mean, in the highlight or of the final call that we heard earlier from the game last night, it was mentioned, you know, heartbreak on this game when it came to this game, because you've had a lot of close games that have kind of slipped away from you in this stretch, this tough stretch that you're going through, 18 games, 18 days against some really solid teams. You had the Orioles, you're playing the Phillies now, you'll get the Royals here shortly. Like, you're playing some really good teams in this. Boston as well involved there. But some of the reason why you've had, one of the reasons why last night felt a little different is it just felt like that was a good game that you happened to lose. And in baseball and in a lot of other sports, that will happen. You've had games in the last, you know, couple of weeks, week or two, where you've had close games, but it's been a mistake here or there.
Yeah.
That's what's been allowed it to slip. And some of those have been mistakes by these types of guys that we're talking about. Like Brian Abreu was not exactly that same type of dude, but you had one of those, you know, he kind of fell off of, he fell off of the cliff in some ways in one of those outings over the weekend. So I that's the thing that I wonder is like, is this level of exposure during a stretch like this and during the remaining, what, 30 games or so? In the season, is that going to be sufficient to get them ready to face off against that adversity?
Yeah, and you're hitting on exactly, you know, another part of my point. Like last night, Abreu was really good. Neris was really good
in the, getting that one out in four pitches.
Hader was really good until he got to the 10th inning, and he just got beat by a better player. But see, this is going to happen in the postseason too. Those guys are down tonight. You're not going to be able to see if it's another close game, Neris and Hader and Abreu, because they put a lot of wear on that arm, so they need to be down tonight. Okay, now that means you got to get some more of these other guys that really haven't been there a lot to step up, and so that's kind of what kind of makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But yet they're in the hunt, and I think they're putting the gas pedal down, and they'll win the division, but. It is just a 3.5 game lead right now.
And not necessarily a young guy, but like, you know, another instance where the Astros trying to plug in around that that established core that you anticipate being the, you know, the meat of what you're trying to do here. The Astros, apparently, according to Brian McTaggart, are close to a deal with outfielder Jason Hayward.
All right.
Obviously, one-time All-Star, won the World Series in 16 with the Cubs. And, I mean, this year... numbers haven't been all that great. I mean, has a below one WAR and 208 batting average thus far, slugging 393, nothing special. So an OPS of 682, which is whatever. But an outfielder, right? And an opportunity to maybe throw someone out there in that space where Chaz McCormick has been maybe less than desirable or whatever. Just another guy to kind of rotate in there, just like they went and picked up Ben Gamble recently. It feels like they're throwing darts to try and bolster and, you know, put more guys in this place that we're talking about, are the folks that have to be the support to your Yordans, to your Altuves.
Let me ask you this, though. Is this a commentary on where exactly they are with Kyle Tucker?
That is a great question, because, you know, let Dana Brown tell it. Kyle Tucker will be back in a week or two, right? Like,
well, they just signed an outfielder.
The start of September, Kyle Tucker's returning, but they just
It is official, according to Fox Sports.
Outfielder.
Astros have signed Jason Hayward. Now, that's one outlet, so we'll see. But what about Kyle Tucker? If you're signing another outfielder right now?
That's, look, That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. And I have been told I'm to take the Astros timelines and you know, kind of ideas about injuries at face value, or not at face value, but with with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that definitely raises some concerns for you, boy, when it comes to Kyle Tucker. But you know
Kyle
what?
Kyle Tucker be right back. By the way, we signed an outfielder.
If there's one thing I do know about Kyle Tucker, he's going to be out there, you know, getting some work in.
He'll be jogging.
He will get some work in. There you go. Astros tonight take on the Phillies once again. It'll be Verlander versus Aaron Nola. Fantastic pitching matchup. But as you mentioned, a lot of the bullpen, especially the back end of the bullpen that you trust to get those final outs, eighth and ninth inning guys, and Abreu and Hader likely down because they both pitched the last two games. So really interesting. Hopefully the offense can get some things done to where you actually knock out a win early on, and now you're just coasting on the back end of that here. In the Loop Sports Radio 610. I was about to get my baseball read, but my computer locked up.
Oh, don't that's you love no how big that deal. That happens. Baseball Talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
I appreciate you helping me there. You started the segment by dry snitching on some folks, but you ended it by picking me up.
I brought it back.
I appreciate you doing that. Coming up next, one more hour of the show, which means we got two more hours until the deadline on roster cut day. What do we know thus far? What is the picture kind of shaping up for your Texas, for your Houston Texans roster? We'll talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.